الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so we continue with the explanation of عمدة الأحكام, and maybe a slight revision from what we studied last week. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and to forgive us for our shortcomings. We inshallah ta'ala will proceed with the hadith again, going through the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat dakhala Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ana musnidatuhu ila sadri وما عبد الرحمن سواك وطب يستن به فأبده رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بصرة فأخذته السواق فقدمته وطيبته ثم دفعته إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاستن به فما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استن استنانا من فبعد أن فرغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رفع يده أو إتباعه ثم قال في رفيق الأعلى ثلاثا ثم قضى عليه. وكانت تقول رضي الله تعالى عنها مات بين حقنتي وذاكرتي. Hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that Abdurrahman ibn Abu Bakr entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst I was supporting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on my chest. Abdurrahman had a fresh suwak, then he was cleaning his teeth with it. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at it. And in another narration, Ikhwan, it's mentioned that he looked at it. Yeah, he looked at it for a long time. So I took the siwak, cut it, chewed it with my teeth, shook it and made it soft and moist with water and saliva, and then gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just cleanly. And she said, radiallahu ta'ala anha, I had never seen clean his teeth in a better way than that moment. After finished brushing his teeth, or the brushing of his teeth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He lifted his hand or his finger. He lifted his hand or his finger. Yani Shakar Rawi, the narrator, said he had his hand or his finger and said three times, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Oh Allah, let me be with the highest companions. Oh Allah, let me be with the highest companions. And then he died, Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Ala Alihi Wasallam. Aisha used to say, radhiyallahu anha, that he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, died while he was resting between my chest and chin. And this is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. This edition here is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. Naam. So in this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the hadith, and it's an amazing hadith, narrated by Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. We start off with some benefits. We're going to do, just to go through it briefly, inshallah ta'ala, as we've done it last week, but I feel that it's a need for us to do it again. We'll go through some of the benefits that we can take from this hadith in general. The first point or issue we can take is the topic of the hadith. The topic of the hadith is Bayan al-Hukm al-Siwak Kullu Waqtin wa Tasawwak bi Siwak Ghayri. The topic of this hadith can be split into two different categories. The topic is the clarification of the ruling of using the siwak at every time. The clarification of the ruling on using the siwak at every time, and the using the siwak that somebody else has used. So this heading or this title, it can be split into two different types or categories, and that is the first, the ruling of using siwak, and the clarification of the ruling of using siwak for every time, and the second part of it is using the siwak from that somebody else has used. And this topic and this title is taken from this hadith by Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. So Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Bakr, Dakhal Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, he entered Abu Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr, he entered the house of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, and he was her brother, and he was her brother, and that's point number two, that it was her brother Abu Abdurrahman who entered. And Ibn Munaqqin rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that from the benefits that we can take from this is the stability of the family members of in entering into your husband's household. That's the family members entering into your husband's or the presence of your husband when he's dying. The presence of your husband when he's dying, as has happened in this hadith of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, in that Abdurrahman entered to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this, Ibn Muraqqin rahimahullah ta'ala said, it shows a permissibility and it's okay for family members to enter the husband in his deathbed. Now, and then Aisha her brother, he came, he entered as Abdurrahman, and Abdurrahman was his brother, her brother, became Muslim, as the ulama of tariq have mentioned. Now, he became Muslim just before the conquest of Mecca, and some have stated that it was actually on the day of the conquest of Mecca he became Muslim, and he died radhiyallahu anhu in the year 59 or 58. He died in the year 58. Ma'am, he died in the year 58. So that's the point number two. Point number three is Aisha radhiyallahu anha stating that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that she musnidat sahu ala ila sadri, yani that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaning and resting on her chest. Was leaning and resting on her chest. And Ibn Malakin rahimahu ta'ala, he mentions regarding this point here, he says again, it shows the permissibility of when a man is dying, that he's sick and he's dying, that he rests and he's made to sit up a little bit and made to rest on his wife in order to make his affair easy, and it's an honor for him as well, for the husband, yani for the wife looking after the husband. And this is taken from this Aisha ta'ala anha for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Then from Aisha ta'ala anha, she mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdurrahman had a siwak, yastannabi. And he was Abdurrahman had a siwak, and he was using the siwak. فأبدأه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بصره. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم glanced towards it. He glanced towards it, and from that Aisha تبارك عنها, she knew that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم liked what he saw. And in another narration, it stated that he صلى الله عليه وسلم stared, not glanced, he stared at the siwak for a period of time, indicating his want or his like, or that he liked that siwak. He liked that siwak. So Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she noticed this, and then she took the siwak and she gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to use. And that which could be taken from this this part of this hadith is the permissibility of using a miswak that has been used already, or that somebody has used. The permissibility of using a miswak that somebody has used. And Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and our Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Hadi, in explaining this hadith a few years ago, they mentioned that there's a condition regarding using somebody else's miswak, and that is if it doesn't cause any harm to you. Yani you will not catch something or an illness or what have you from this individual by using a miswak. So the condition is that you can use somebody else's miswak just as long as there's that condition filled in that there's no harm that will come to the one that's using the miswak afterwards. Now, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the miswak from Aisha took the miswak from Abdurrahman radhiyallahu anhu, and she says qadimtuhu, it means that she chewed it with the edge or the end of her teeth. You know, atraf lisani, asnan, atraf asnan. You know, she chewed it with the end of her teeth, and this is in order to make it moist for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in order to make it moist for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in another narration, it says qasimtuhu bisad. The first narration mentions qadimtuhu bidad, and that is chewing it with the tip of her teeth. And another narration, it says qasimtuhu bisad, and that is that it was broken, and the edges of it was broken, and then she chewed it with her teeth. So it was broken, and then she chewed it with her teeth. But that which is understood by the collaboration of these two narrations, حفظكم الله تعالى, is that she, رضي الله تعالى عنها, she made the miswak usable for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his state by making it moist and soft. Soft. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it. Then Nabihi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "فَمَا رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ istinanan ahsanu minhu. And she said that she hadn't seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam use the miswak better than that, than he's using it at that moment. And he's using that miswak at that moment, and this shows a benefit of the importance of the miswak and the importance of using the siwak, in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his deathbed, and yet he placed importance in using this miswak efficiently, and we can take a few benefits from this aspect or this part of the hadith. And for that, another benefit that we can take from the parts of this hadith, Malish, is the strength of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's the quwwat in the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the strength of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would, even at his time of death, we know the pains, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the pains of death, and how it's painful. But yet he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the strength to use the miswak. He had the strength to use the miswak because he's wanting to follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, even up until his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another benefit from this excerpt that we can take is that he, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that he either he wanted to make sure that his mouth was pure when he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that's why he used the miswak. Another mashayikh and ulama have mentioned that, and Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned this as well, that also maybe he was doing dhikr, maybe he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing dhikr, and he wanted to use the miswak to freshen his mouth and so forth. And this is again shows the importance of using the miswak. It shows the importance of using the miswak at every time, even at the time of death, even at the time of death. So the Prophet used the miswak efficiently, thoroughly, so much so that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha hadn't seen him use it like that before, in its efficient, as efficient as he did that time. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he finished using the miswak, he raised his hand or his finger, as is mentioned in the hadith. Rafa'a yadahu aw isba'ahu. He raised his hand or his finger. Now, this part of this hadith, the benefits that we can take from this part of hadith is, first of all, it affirms the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his finger, and he raised it up. He's making a dua, and he raised his finger up, or he raised his hand up, and this is indicating that Allah is above. This is indicating that Allah is above, and this is an affirmation of the ulu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another benefit that we can take from this part of this hadith is ilm al-hadith or riwayah. It shows the dhabt of the rawi. It shows the precision of the narrator and the taqwa and the wara and the cautiousness that the narrators have in making sure that they narrate exactly that which they heard. In that he, the narrator, that stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hand or his finger, this shows how the precision of narrators. In that he didn't just say khalas, he said his hand. No, he wanted to make sure that he narrated accurately, so he said his hand or his finger. And the ulama have shown this when this shakarawi, it's not a proof in it or evidence of deficiency in the narrator. It's actually a proof of the precision and the accuracy of the narrator, in that he wanted to make sure that that which he relayed in the isnad and narrated was exactly what he heard. So this is from the war and the cautiousness and the taqwa of the ulama and the ruwat of hadith and the ruwat of hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his hand or his finger in the air to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua fi rafiq al-a'la, fi rafiq al-a'la, fi rafiq al-a'la, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him be from those highest of companions, to make him to be from those on the highest level, and from be companions of those on the highest level, yeah, in the hereafter. And it's the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which goes in accordance to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then they will be in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His grace, who Allah has bestowed His favor, from the prophets, the Siddiqun, the martyrs, and the righteous. And how excellent are these companions. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "Fi rafiq al-a'la," in relation to this verse here, same meaning, i.e., to be companions of those who have Allah has bestowed His grace and His virtue and His favor, and highest of companions of those in hereafter. And this is an amazing dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet ﷺ made that dua in his deathbed, and after making that dua, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to say, وَكَانَتْ تَقُولُ مَاتَ بَيْنَ حَقِنَتَيْهِ. She used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died between her chin, one narration, some narration that is her chin, or her throat. So I said between her chin or her throat and her chest. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died in that position that Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned. And that, hafizakumullah ta'ala, I've tried to make it very brief, showing some of the virtues that comes from this hadith. For some more benefits, we can mention also that in this hadith is an indication with the ulama of usul have made that it's okay to act upon al-ishara. Is amru bil ishara ja'iza idha kanat mafhuma, that you can act upon indication when something is indicated, if that indication is understood. That indication is understood, and this is taken from the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha understood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked and wanted that miswak, so she acted upon that indication. So the ulama of fiqh and usul have said that this is an evidence and proof that one can act upon indication. That one can act upon an indication or ishara. Naam. And that is the hadith of the Prophet in this chapter, showing the importance of miswak and the importance of using the miswak. Up until the death of the Prophet ﷺ, he used the miswak. We go to the next hadith. Ikhwan, go to the next hadith, and that's the hadith and Abi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وراك بالسواك رطب قال وترف السواك على نساني وهو يقول والسواك فيه كأنه يتهوع كأنه يتهوع. This is the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. He said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I saw him carrying, holding a miswak in his hand and cleaning his teeth, and he was saying as if he was retching while the siwak was in his mouth. As if he was retching while the siwak was in his mouth. First thing we're going to do regarding this hadith for Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu is that we're going to talk about the narrator of this hadith. We're going to talk about the narrator of this hadith. And the narrator of this hadith is companion Abdullah ibn Qais ibn Sulaym ibn Haddar. His name is Abdullah ibn Qais. His name is Abdullah ibn Qais, and his kunya was Abi Musa. And his kunya was Abu Musa. So his name was Abdullah ibn Qais. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he is attributed to Al-Ash'ar. He's attributed to Al-Ash'ar, which is why he's called Ash'ari. Which is why he's called Al-Ash'ari. And there's many explanations regarding his nasab in that regard. But he, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was from the most knowledgeable of the companions of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also he was from the companions who recited the Quran beautifully. He recited the Quran beautifully, so much so that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say to him, "Ya Abu Musa, come and remind us. Ya Abu Musa, come and remind us with the recitation or the recital of the Quran." And he would recite the Quran because his voice was beautiful, and he recited the Quran beautifully, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And also, this is before Umar ibn Khattab is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as relates to his recitation and how beautiful it was. Abu Musa, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was one of the companions that was sent to different places to work, like Kufa and so forth, by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and afterwards by the Khulafa Rashidin, like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, sent him to go to these areas and look after those areas, yani politically now. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala from the Tabi'een, he said كانت القضاء أربعة. He said that the judges, yani the main judges, were four: Umar, yani Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa Ali, yani Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Zayd ibn Thabit, wa Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu. And these were the four main judges. And they had the knowledge of the qada. They had the knowledge, the judiciary knowledge, and they were the ones who were most knowledgeable in that bab. And a Sha'bi named Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu as one of them. And he was a small man, and he was short and very light radiyallahu anhu. And this is the sifa that the ulama have mentioned regarding him. As for his narrations in the books of the Sunnah, or the Bukhari Muslim, should we say, Rawa'an al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani all, I should say, sorry, 360 narrations. And he narrated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 360 hadith, and the Bukhari and Muslim agreed upon 50 of those narrations. Bukhari and Muslim agreed upon 50 of those narrations. Ibn al-Jawzi said it was 49. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said it was 49. And as for Al-Hafid Abdul-Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said it was 50. As for those narrations that were only narrated in Bukhari, it said that there are only four. There are only four narrations where Abu Musa narrated on the Prophet ﷺ that is only mentioned in Bukhari. There's only four of those narrations. And as for Muslim, there's more. There's 15 narrations in Sahih Muslim that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of the companions narrated from him. So he's one of those that companions narrated from, and from the companions that narrated from him was Anas ibn Malik. From the companions that narrated from him was Anas Ibn Malik radiyallahu anhuma, and also a lot of the tabi'een. A lot of the tabi'een afterwards narrated from him. And he radiyallahu anhu was known to be from the fuqaha, from those who have knowledge, and he was known for that, radiyallahu anhu. And in the books of Tariq, he's considered to be from Ahl Basra. It's considered to be from Ahl Barra. It's considered to be from those of Basr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As for his death, there's a big difference of opinion related to it. I haven't done enough research to affirm that, but there's a lot of statements from the ulama relating to his death. Some say that he died in the year 42. Some say that he died in the year 44. Some say that he died in the year 50. Some say that he died in the year 53. Some say that he died in the year 51. And some say Nam. So basically, all in all, between the years of 42 and 53, the ulama differed between those years as to which year precisely this illustrious companion, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, died. Now, as for the fiqh or the masail in this hadith, we're going to start off with what we do, and that is the topic of the hadith. And that is the topic of the hadith, yani the mawdu' al-hadith. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, mawdu' al-hadith, the mawdu' al-hadith is bayan mawdu' al-istiyaq. Bayan mawdu' al-istiyaq. And Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the title, the topic of this hadith is the place in which the miswak is used. Yani the place in which the miswak is used. And this is the topic, the title that Ibn Uthaymeen has given for this hadith. This is the topic title that he's given for this hadith, rahimullah ta'ala. So as for the text of this hadith, Abu Musa, radiallahu anhu, says, Ataytu Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no text showing when this happened. Yani when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani which time on the day, for example. When he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yastak. Yani he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with miswak in his mouth. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with miswak in his mouth. And wa yastak bi siwak rutub. He saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with miswak in his mouth. And Ibn Mulaqin, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that this here is evidence that it's okay for the ruler to use the miswak in front of his subjects, in front of the people. That is befitting, and it's not aid, and it's nothing wrong with the ruler using miswak in front of the people. And this is obviously taken from this narration here, where Abu Musa, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu used the miswak in front of them. And Imam Bukhari mentions some of this in some of his abwab, and Ibn Hibban also mentions this, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, so he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with miswak in his mouth, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use the miswak up and down, up and down, meaning, as Ibn Malakin rahimahu ta'ala, he mentioned that the miswak will be going up and down so much so, far down, that made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Ibn Malakin rahimahu ta'ala, he mentions regard to the statement or the sound that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he made. He mentioned that there were three or so different sounds, or that, different narrations showing that sound. three or so different narrations showing that sound. The first narration is mentioning Ibn Nasa'i and Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban in Sahih, and it's narrated in that isnad there that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a sound yani with ayn and al and alif as opposed to and that is with ayn and alif. And in another narration, which is narrated in Jawzaqi, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a sound ikh with kha, ikh with kasra on the alif and kha, sukun on the kha, ikh. And in the third narration, in addition to the one that we mentioned here, is this one is Salamukumullah. It's narrated in Abu Dawood, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that he said and with ha, with alif and ha. And Ibn Mulakin said, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa kullaha ibaratun ala iblaghi siwak ila aqsa or af aqasi al halq. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that all of these narrations come put together shows and indicates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the miswak up until as far down his throat as he could, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this obviously is taken from this sound, and also is taken from the statement of Abu Musa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, كَأَنَّهُ يَتَهَوَّى كَأَنَّهُ يَتَهَوَّى يعني كَأَنَّهُ يَتَهَوَّى يعني كأن, like as if he was vomiting, like as if he was vomiting. And Ibn Mulakin said, rahimahullah ta'ala, no, he didn't vomit. So it's not a proof to show that once you do that until they vomit. He said it's as if he was vomiting, but he wasn't vomiting. It's as if he was vomiting, A, showing that he used the miswak from the tip of his tongue all the way down to the aqasi al-halq, up until the inner throat as much as he could, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentions there are a few narrations, weak narrations, that show that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it side to side. And those narrations are not affirmed that he did it side to side, they're weak narrations. But that which is indicating this hadith and others is that he did it from the tip to the all the way to the bottom to his throat. And this again showing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did use the miswak efficiently. As for the benefits of this hadith, so the benefits of this hadith is the, yani because, sorry, before I go into the benefits of the hadith, that which is obviously seen and you can tell from the context of this hadith is that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brushed his tongue. That he brushed his tongue as well. So from the benefits of this hadith, it's مشروعيه التسوك على اللسان كما يكون على أسنان. And that is the legislation of using the miswak on your tongue as you would use it on your teeth as well. No fuck. And this is taken from this hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The second benefit that is taken from this hadith is mashru'iyyah al-mubalagha fi. Mashru'iyyah al-mubalagha fi. And that is to be intense in you using the miswak. It's to be intent in using miswak, and this is legislated, and it's not going into extreme, rather it's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another benefit that can be taken from this hadith is jawaza tasawwuk wa mubalagha fihi bi hadrat an-nas. We mentioned this previously, as Ibn Muraqqin himself mentioned that, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it's permissible for you to use the miswak and use it intensively and going down to as far as your throat as you can, in front of people. And you mentioned specifically that it can be done by the ruler in front of others, but also it can be done by others, the general people in front of each other, by the general people in front of each other. And that's the end of the hadith, or the end of the chapter of using the siwak, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.